This is The Drive with Josh Graham podcast.
We're internet sensations, guys.
Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons, 3 to 7 on WSJS.
We're on a Monday drive. It is WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where the vibes are not good for the Carolina Panthers today. Just in the last hour, the team announced that two members of the Great Wall of Lina, Robert Hunt and Austin Corbett, are placed on IR or are going to be placed on IR with significant injuries. And this adds insult to injury after the 27-22 loss to the Arizona Cardinals, which we need to talk about right now. Whenever Ron Rivera lost close games, he had a cliche he often went to by saying his team missed opportunities that day. Missed opportunities became a popular turn of phrase for Riverboat Ron. In fact, in his farewell press conference, Ron even held up a t-shirt at the end as a gag that read missed opportunities on it. Well, if Ron were still the head coach of the Panthers and lost as Carolina did in Arizona on Sunday, the words missed opportunity would have been said quite a bit in the aftermath. The defense did its job. The defense played well enough to win the game for Carolina. Not only did the six-game streak of 200 rushing yards at least allowed per game get broken, Arizona was held to just 82 yards rushing on the ground. The Panthers held Arizona to 33% third down conversion rate. This was after, in New Orleans, Arizona was at about 50%, 6 of 13. Carolina got a turnover. DJ Wonnum had a key interception. Carolina, the defense at least, only allowed 20 points, despite the fact at times they were set up in bad situations. But just like the Jacksonville game, it was mistakes offensively that cost Carolina most. A fumble return for a touchdown on the first series. An interception on the second series that set Arizona up in Carolina territory. That spotted Arizona 10 points right away. It's 10 to nothing. You end up losing the game by 5 points. There were two missed two-point plays. Dave Canales covered this all really well in his post-game presser. This was his complete opening statement.
We got to eliminate the mistakes. 2 weeks in a row, early self-inflicted wounds, and 10 points just like that, going to the half 20-3, and we got to change our mode, we're not able to play the complementary football that we're looking for, to be able to mix the runs, the play actions, turn it into a drop back game. I love our guys. I love that we battled all the way to the end. Nobody quit. Everybody did what they were supposed to do. As we started to close the game, we have to be able to find a way to play that kind of football early on so we can see what we have. I believe in this group. I'm excited about this group and the players we have out there, but it's the mistakes. And I have to take full responsibility of that first and foremost for preparing our guys. And we got to get right back to work.
Perfect statement by Dave there. Covered the mistakes on offense, how that changes your play calling, et cetera, et cetera. The final drive was a mess. They received two gifts. Number one, an onside kick recovery, which nowadays, how the rules work, next to impossible to recover. A soft roughing the passer call, but with the banged up O-line that they had, again, going to be without Robert Hunt and Austin Corbett for a significant period of time. It's a knee for Corbett. It's a bicep injury that will require surgery for Robert Hunt. After the game, he is struggling even to put a t-shirt on before talking to the media. Carolina struggled to keep Bryce upright. And Teteroa McMillan was being doubled. So now you're staring down 0-2 with the Atlanta Falcons, whose front looked pretty scary last night to the point where it actually injured J.J. McCarthy. We just got the headline in now that J.J. McCarthy isn't expected to go this next week. Carson Wentz is going to be starting for Minnesota because of Atlanta's defense and how strong they were. Carolina is now 0-2, and they very well could have been 1-1. Your reaction is welcome. Big Deke Energy writes in, hope Canales hands off play calling duties to someone else. It's 2 weeks. Let's not do this. Bryce Young had three touchdown passes in the second half. Execution more important than the play calling. Cool, slick. It's going to be a rough year. Well, let's ask Will Dalton. On X at Josh Graham Show at WSJS Radio. That's where we're streaming video in addition to YouTube and Twitch. 336-777-1600. If you want in on the show, Will Dalton is the executive producer of this show and the man that said that Carolina was going to win nine games this year. You said you were undeterred after week one. Where are you at now?
They're not going to win nine games. Because my thinking they were going to win nine games was based on them looking like they looked the last 2 months of last year and the last half of yesterday. The problem is they can't seem to look like that either until they're down multiple scores and the game's all but out of reach, or they're eliminated from playoff contention. They can't do it at the start of the game when it's 0-0. So, no, they're not going to win nine games. Just win six, win seven, win more than five. Just do that. Anyway.
See, the expectations that I set still are intact and still think that they can get there. Not in a place where I don't think we can. You know, there is a place we can go for optimism. And let's actually do that. There are reasons to start believing in Bill Belichick's Tar Heels right now. They finally looked the part this weekend. Sure, Richmond was outmatched physically, but so was Charlotte, and Carolina wasn't overwhelming in that road win, which was Bill Belichick's first collegiate win as a head coach. Carolina's D hasn't allowed a touchdown in the last two games. And they seem to have found a difference maker at running back. We were talking about that position battle. Demond June had the most rushing yards against Charlotte. And then against Richmond, 10 carries, 148 yards, his first collegiate touchdown. This guy's a freshman. And here was Bill Belichick with some high praise for Demond June.
He's earned it. You know, nobody gave him anything. I mean, he started at the bottom of the depth chart and just kind of worked his way up, and he's had some opportunities and has done pretty well with them. But he's made some yards on his own, and that's a big thing. You know, he's doing a good job with the ball in his hands, and we got him on that screen pass. That was a big play, too, to, you know, set up the score. So, he's done a good job in running and catching.
Catching? Running? That was during his post-game press conference. Will Dalton was at this game on Saturday. Will had very important news that he reported from that presser on Saturday. What was that news?
The balloons are gone.
The balloon arch?
The balloons are gone.
From the TCU game?
Yeah.
That went viral?
Uh-huh.
It was no longer there anymore?
No, not there.
He stole my balloons!
So.
They heard the noise.
Somebody heard the noise. Whether it's in the Carolina football office or whether it's in the PR room. No balloons at Bill Belichick's press conference. But getting back to the team, the ACC schedule is looking easier than we thought even this offseason. Now, we thought the Carolina schedule was easy already. It might be even easier than that. Because during the offseason, based on last year's results, we looked at some games that were scary, and the two games that were viewed as the most difficult conference games for the Tar Heels, Clemson at home, road game at Syracuse. Breaking news. Syracuse isn't very good. North Carolina might be better than Syracuse. And then Clemson has looked incredibly mortal. Clemson opened up with a home loss to LSU, then trailed 16-0 to Troy, needed to come back and win that game in a one-score setting. That was also at Tiger Stadium or at Death Valley. And then on Saturday, first road game, what happens? They lose to Georgia Tech. When you look at last season and this season, they've looked very mortal against Power Four competition. So are we sure, with absolute certainty, North Carolina's losing that game to Clemson? Clemson's probably going to be favored, but does North Carolina not have a shot? And then when you look at the rest of the schedule, look who's good in the ACC right now. Florida State up to number 7 in the AP poll. Miami, number 4 in the AP poll. North Carolina doesn't play either of those teams. Georgia Tech's in the poll. North Carolina doesn't play Georgia Tech. SMU, they were ranked. North Carolina doesn't have to play them. Louisville's good. North Carolina doesn't have to play them. So when you look at the schedule, there really isn't a team that North Carolina can't beat on its schedule. And they still have a few more weeks to get better until league play starts. You got a toss-up game this week at UCF in Orlando. Not a conference game. See, this is not a team that we're expecting to be a college football playoff team. So even if they lose to UCF, if they do so looking good, then that still can be trending in the right direction. Then it's a bye week. Then it's the Clemson Tigers going in. And having this time before conference play starts, it's exactly what a new coach with a new staff with 70 new players, 30 transfers or 40 transfers and 30 freshmen needs. It's exactly what they need, which is time. And there are reasons, based on what we've seen, to believe that Carolina is getting better. And this schedule is even easier than we thought. We're still talking about Bill Bleepin Belichick here. Shouldn't it shock us that they play defense well and that players get better under that type of tutelage? To recap the football weekend in an efficient manner, we will attach letter grades to it and Graham's grades. And that is next on The Drive.
There are a lot of so-called sports talk guys who don't do anything but flap their gums.
Yeah, exactly.
But not Josh Graham. He doesn't even like gum or flapping for that matter.
He's so talented.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
Let's get to the weekend in college football. Then we'll look at tonight's doubleheader that we have in the NFL, a true Monday Night Football doubleheader. So much happening in the college football weekend. We're going to look at this through a local slash regional ACC lens, and we do that right now.
Every week is a test for your favorite sports teams.
Is this a test?
Who passed the test?
I don't know.
Who dropped the ball?
I don't know.
Josh Graham has the answers.
What?
Time for Graham's Grades.
Oh, yeah, the segment's called Graham's Grades. We'll circle back to the Carolina Panthers in just a bit. A, B, C, D, F. We attach letter grades to what we saw. And in the college sense, there's one local team that's deserving of an A.
A.
The East Carolina Pirates. Purple! ECU, 38-0 winners at Coastal Carolina. Think about being a Pirate fan. Going out to Myrtle Beach, hanging out there Friday night, maybe hitting the beach itself on Saturday morning. Game isn't until later in the evening. They got free concessions over there at Coastal and Conway. And then you watch your football team win 38-0. This team, Will, is one play away from being 3-0. They got stuffed in Raleigh on a 4th-and-1 inside the red zone. This week, this isn't even much of a hot take. Well, it is. Biggest game coming up this weekend locally. NC State Duke's pretty big at Wallace Wade. It is. And then you got North Carolina going to UCF in Orlando. But BYU, Will, is at ECU Saturday night at Dowdy Ficklin Stadium. That, I need to see where this game's being televised. Because when these teams play, more times than not, it usually comes down to the wire. BYU has looked good this year. They beat Stanford 27-3 a couple weeks ago. We're off this past weekend. 69-0 winners against Portland State in the opener.
Going to be on ESPN2.
BYU ECU, buckle up Saturday night, 7:30. Can't wait to see Dowdy Ficklin under the lights.
B.
Georgia Tech. So, was it perfect? No.
Is Clemson just as big of a story here as Georgia Tech is with how they've played of late? Sure. Was it ideal having to rush the kicker out there for a 55-yard kick as time expired? Not ideal either. But Georgia Tech was the better team in this game. Brent Key always seems to deliver against ranked teams. You got an OC and Buster Faulkner. Wow, I really sounded from Baltimore there. Did you hear that? Got an OC over there. This guy's pretty good.
Ostros,
Maddie Bo's on. Buster Faulkner. That guy's a future head coach. That guy rules. And what a kick it was for Georgia Tech to take down Clemson.
C.
This is where we put North Carolina. It's a 41-6 win, but it's Richmond. It's Richmond. It's an FCS team. It can't, by rule, Will, we can't have a win against an FCS team higher than a C.
Can't do it.
It's against the rules. Can't do it. Love the way foreign people say rules.
There are rules.
Henry Vassar was talking about that last week. He's like, you know, the way the rules work. I'm like, ah, we're really going to like this guy in Chapel Hill. Fun accent he has. North Carolina is a C.
D.
Should we put Duke here or App State? App State got rolled at Southern Miss over the weekend as a road favorite. Duke, yeah, it's probably Duke. You bring in Darian Mensah and you lose to his former school. You bring him in from Tulane, then you lose to Tulane. That is too lame for Duke. I'd say
it is pretty lame, though.
A 7-point deficit, but it wasn't even that close. You're down 14-0 at the end of the first quarter. Tulane was team right side, and that's a bad, bad sign for Duke and a terrible way to bounce back from that Illinois game.
F.
Virginia Tech. You get blown out. You didn't just lose to Old Dominion. You got blown out at Lane Stadium. You had to fire Brent Pry the next day. You had to, and they did. Virginia Tech fans are convinced they're going to get Shane Beamer. You sure about that?
I don't like your chances.
You sure about that?
Yeah, I don't like it.
You sure about that? And Brent Pry wasn't the only coach fired yesterday. Former Panther running back Deshaun Foster. UCLA starts 0-3. They're going into a bye week. It's year two. They're like, this Nico guy isn't exactly working out. Meanwhile, Joey Aguilar, Tennessee should have won that game. Joey's been awesome.
Yep.
One of the better stories in college football and an easy guy to root for. The former App State quarterback. So those are Graham's grades for the college football weekend. Tonight is a true Monday Night Football doubleheader. They've played with this in recent years, Will, where they would have a game start at 7 and then another game start at 8:30. Try to stagger it a little bit in the primetime window. Which do you prefer? Do you prefer that or having two games back-to-back that you can watch with undivided attention? Well, actually, let me ask you this. We told you about this Monday Night Football doubleheader a week ago and said, hey, maybe it would be wise for you to watch your movie before Monday Night Football where there are two games going at one time. Have you watched City Slickers yet, which you need to watch by tomorrow?
No, that's going to be a tonight thing. That's what we're going to do tonight.
Undivided attention?
Yes.
That's the rule.
That will give it our undivided attention.
It deserves that.
But I do like the staggered better, because then I can just flip back and forth or have two screens.
See, I like the staggered not for the reason you said. The reason I like the staggered is in case it's one of the games suck. That's if you have two games staggered, then you're not fully committed to that one game. Where if one of them's terrible, cool, let's just flip over to this one. I honestly think that'd be wise for ESPN to look at, like, not even stagger it. Have the game start at the exact same time throw them both on.
Yeah.
And then if one's, then we can decide which game is better. And turn that game on and have multiple screens. But this isn't bad. 7 o'clock, then a 10 o'clock game. It'll be a late night. Baker Mayfield versus C.J. Stroud. That is the main event. Baker and Tampa already 1-0, looking to start 2-0 and have an early grasp on the NFC South. The South that Tampa's won 4 straight years. C.J. Stroud is in danger of starting 0-2 with the Texans. An important season for Houston. An important season for C.J. is, like Bryce Young, he might be looking for a contract extension in the offseason. Then you have Raiders-Chargers. Really excited, oddly, about both these games. I'm excited for both because Raiders-Chargers rekindle something that last decade was a lot of fun, and that was the Pete Carroll-Jim Harbaugh rivalry. And that's a real thing. One of the greatest college regular season upsets of all time, statistically, was when Stanford beat Pete Carroll's USC team. Look up when this game happened, Will. Believe it was John David Booty and Company, 2007. Hard to forget a name like that. Taking over for Matt Leinart and Company, 2007, I think that was the year that Stanford was close to a 40-point underdog. I think they were a 39.5-point underdog, something crazy like that. And Jim Harbaugh led Stanford to upsetting USC. And that was the start of Pete Carroll versus Jim Harbaugh. Then they joined Jim Harbaugh joined the NFL ranks. Did you find the year?
It was 07.
07. So then Jim Harbaugh joins the NFC West, and you have all those battles between San Francisco and Seattle. The Legion of Boom versus Kaepernick and Patrick Willis and Frank Gore, and they just went toe-to-toe. I mean, there was one stretch where those teams combined to go to the Super Bowl 3 straight years. And, yeah, the Niners lost to the Ravens in 12. Seattle went in 2013. And then 2014 went to the Super Bowl. Just real battles. Remember when Pete Carroll was... Not Pete Carroll. Remember when Michael Crabtree was yelling at Aaron Andrews? Michael Crabtree!
But that was Richard Sherman yelling about Michael Crabtree.
Oh, that's right.
Can't put a sorry guy like Michael
Crabtree.
Yeah, that's what you gonna get.
Crab.
That's what you gonna get.
Yeah. Who was talking about you? Crabtree! Jim Harbaugh, Pete Carroll. There's some history there. Now they're in the same division again. And it's a different division. It's the AFC West. Chargers. Raiders, who were actually good last week. Geno Smith threw for nearly 400 yards. They won on the road. It is Pete Carroll, Jim Harbaugh, fun division, and it's Pete's birthday. He's 74 years old today. Happy 74th to the former NC State defensive assistant under what was Lane Kiffin's dad's name? Oh, this is going to... Monty Kiffin. Under Monty Kiffin. We like Tampa and LA tonight. That's what we're on. A little bit later.
Josh Graham loves to talk sports. He also loves to take herbal body baths to keep his skin supple and youthful looking. You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
I've always been a believer that if there's good news and bad news, lead with the bad news, chase it with the good. So, Dave Canales met with reporters about an hour ago, and he dropped a bomb during the presser. Robert Hunt, Austin Corbett, 2 of Carolina's 5 starting offensive linemen, part of what we've described as the Great Wall of Lina in the offseason, going on injured reserve. Significant injuries. They'll be out longer than 4 weeks. Canales wouldn't say that either guy is expected to miss the entire season. Wouldn't rule that out either, though. Here was Canales on the loss. The loss is of Rob Hunt and Austin Corbett.
We're going to miss those guys. They'll be with us. They'll be around here, you know, but we'll miss them on the field. I think about Cade and the opportunity for Chandler coming in there. But, you know, these are, you know, between Austin and between Rob, you know, these are two guys that I lean on also just for messaging, you know, and for the toughness and the fight and the discipline to just continue to go back to work. So we'll certainly miss those guys that way.
They are going to be missed. A little bit of a surprise, Will, in the replacements of Hunt and Corbett. You might think at one of the guard spots or at either of the guard spots, you might want Brady Christensen to plug right in there. Brady was competing for the left tackle position when Ike Ekwonu missed the first game. It was Brady Christensen and Yosh Nyman. Yosh Nyman ended up starting. So maybe Carolina, which goes counter to what Carolina with Matt Rhule felt about Brady Christensen. They felt he was a better guard than he was a tackle. Carolina seems to think Brady Christensen's a better tackle than a guard. Don't you just love line play? Talked on the air. Cade Mays is going to be the starting center. That's not a big surprise. When Carolina was having its success down the stretch, remember Austin Corbett got hurt, and Cade Mays slid in there and did pretty well. But don't forget, the last game of the season, Will, when Carolina won in overtime and scored a million points against the Falcons, it was Chandler Zavala playing in Rob Hunt's place in that game. Rob Hunt didn't play in that finale. So Canales announced today that it will be Zavala, the former NC State Wolfpacker, and Cade Mays starting at those respective positions. The chat's getting really negative right now. Have you noticed this? David writes in, the Panthers can't draft, so none of this matters. Does anybody think Teteroa McMillan was a bad pick?
No. He's been the bright spot in the first couple of weeks.
Yeah. Turns out, he looks pretty good.
Immediately.
So let's pump the brakes a little bit after just a couple of games. That's never a popular thing to do. Instead, let's actually improve the vibes, improve morale around here, Will. Baby Daniel, my 10-month-old son, went to his first sporting event this weekend, Will. We got some pictures here.
I have a child!
Where Baby Daniel's in the stands and living his best life. Need to give a shout out to a listener. Need to give a shout out to George, who knew that my wife was a Virginia graduate, had tickets to Virginia. And Will, what you can see in this picture, and I'll describe it for the audio audience, holding my son watching on as Virginia is just beating down William and Mary. But the seat is in the shade on a hot day, essential. It's a noon kick, which works pretty well when it comes to getting Daniel back by his bedtime back in Winston-Salem. That was good. He gave me a parking pass right outside the gate, right in front of Scott Stadium. So we had an excellent time. We get inside, and Will, we have video of Daniel with about 3 or 4 minutes to go in the first half. We're debating, yeah, should we probably leave at halftime? It's 42-7, 35-7 at this point. When I look over to my right, my wife holding baby Daniel. Daniel is out. This is the good old song, not to be confused with Auld Lang Syne from New Year's. And they sing it after every touchdown. So we got a number of good old songs in. And we heard the band at halftime. And then we get out of there. And with the extra time allotted, Will, we decided to go onto the UVA lawn. Don't call it campus. It's grounds, We explored grounds, and baby Daniel got to sit in the grass and play, and we were playing. Listen to these giggles. Such a delightful sound hearing a baby giggle. It's outstanding. So we had an awesome time. So for the second half of the game, we went to grounds and we hung out on the UVA lawn in front of the rotunda. And we got out of there, beat traffic before the game even ended. Daniel, there he was when he was awake in the stands. He loved it when I motioned his arm over and we said, first down. And he'd have a big smile on his face. There you go. How's that for positive morale?
That's some pretty good morale right there. Grounds. Grounds is what it's
called. Oh, yeah.
So if I go there one day.
You call it campus, they'll correct you.
And I call it go to the lawn or go to campus, they're going to get offended.
You could say lawn. That's fine. It is the lawn. That is the lawn.
So they'll get offended if
campus.
I say campus?
Yeah.
I'm going to say campus.
You don't do that.
I'm going to say campus anyway just because it's a campus. I don't do that pretentious stuff.
It's Thomas Jefferson's university. This is what Thomas Jefferson
is that what he
wanted these things called. You had quite a weekend, too. So
yeah.
You went to Keenan Stadium. How'd the crowd look at Keenan Stadium for Richmond? We know what game one looked like. What did game two at Keenan?
Not like game one. Spoiler alert. It was fine. It was your typical crowd, I guess, like a game last year. There was open seats. There was open seats in the blue zone. The student section, they did a pretty good job, I thought.
No balloons in the post-game presser.
No. So, I had seen that because they have like their midweek pressers, their after practices or whatever. And I saw the balloons were gone there. But I thought maybe they moved them. Maybe that's like, because that's the reason it was there in the first place was for recruits on game day. So I didn't know. Maybe they moved them. But no, they're not there anymore. So they saw the content that we put out that went viral.
Which we didn't intend to. We didn't even point out the
balloons. It's just the angle I shot.
That's right.
And so they're gone.
Jay Davis, bad thing is you couldn't get him ECU tickets for his first game. On my birthday next year, ECU hosts App State.
Hey.
Might have that circle.
That's the one.
What do you mean I couldn't get him? I probably could. It's just a listener reached out to me and said, do you want to go to this game? That's how that worked. I didn't even seek out the tickets. It just kind of worked out that way through the kindness of your hearts.
Uh-huh.
All right, WD.
Yep.
Yesterday, you were at what? In Winston-Salem.
So there was a Winston-Salem food truck festival. My friend had told me about this from last year, and I didn't go to it.
You're going to need to speed this story up.
Okay. So anyway, I went to it, and I went to some of the shops beforehand that are in downtown Winston. I think I was in like a clothing store of some kind, and I hear from across the store, "Hey, WD!" And a couple of our listeners were there, and they said they came because I said something about it on air, and they wanted to check it out. So shout out to them.
What was the best food truck? Were any of the food trucks on fire or smoking after the Wake Forest NC State game Thursday?
None of that. Probably the best thing I had was the first thing I had, like these little brisket sliders. Had some green onion on them, and they were juicy and just fantastic. Ate a lot of stuff yesterday. It was good.
Instead of just talking, why don't you listen? That's why you have people call in. Listen for a minute.
Oh, welcome back to the Happy Circle. The Drive with Josh Graham.
Believe it or not, there's electricity at Bank of America Stadium right now. Charlotte FC tied an MLS record with its ninth straight win Saturday night.
Nine times.
Nine straight wins for Charlotte FC, ties an MLS record, and the way they did it, Will, was with Lionel Messi and Inter Miami in the building. Don't forget, Charlotte clinched its first ever playoff appearance by becoming the first MLS team to beat Leo Messi's Inter Miami in a regular season match. That's how they clinched. So Charlotte kind of has had Inter Miami's number. Charlotte, due to prior yellow cards, didn't have its manager, its head coach, Dean Smith, available to coach the team. Did you see where he was at? He was in David Tepper's booth.
I did. I saw that.
And they were dancing around after the game, which was very fun. Inter Miami was without Luis Suarez, one of the best strikers in the world. But Charlotte might have the best goalkeeper in MLS. That would be Kalina stepping up and stopping Leo Messi on a penalty kick. And because Charlotte FC won this match, we get to continue with our tradition, Will, that when Charlotte FC wins, we play Willie P goal calls. Or in this case, penalty kick stops. Willie P, like Charlotte FC, really rose to the occasion on Saturday.
Kalina this year against penalties, 4 of 16. Messi approaches, a chip, save by Kalina! Save by Kalina! Take that, Leo Messi! Bottom line!
Now, what's better is a drop for potential opportunity. The first part of that?
Take that, Leo Messi!
Or his tribute to Tar Heel legend Rasheed Wallace.
Bottle line!
It's got to be the Leo Messi. I mean, come on.
Take that!
Take that, Leo Messi!
Like, who gets an how many people get that opportunity to make that happen to where you get that call?
You stop Leo Messi on a PK.
That's what I'm saying.
And then, as if that wasn't great enough, Toklamani had a hat trick in this game. You remember the guy who was fined for twerking one time? That guy? One single twerk led to a fine. Incredible. Toklamani had a hat trick. I think it's Charlotte's second ever hat trick in a game. And Willie P lost his damn mind.
Ball in the midfield is taken by Westwood. One touch for Ream. Middle of the park. Toklamani, here's Westwood, sending it forward to Vargas, who scored 2 years ago. Vargas crossed to the middle, Toklamani, he scores! He scores! Ido Toklamani! This place is insane!
I love it when he gets...
Take that, Leo Messi!
When he gets fired up. Really is so good. But we have a winner at Bank of America Stadium. Now, you roll your eyes a little bit.
Oh, I don't.
And you're right to in this sense. If you don't think David Tepper's going to bring this up at some point, if he was fully comfortable boasting about concerts, do you think that...
You know, with concerts.
If I was advising David Tepper, which I'm not, but he might be listening to us right now, my advice would be, don't do that in Carolina Panthers settings. Do you know, I'll give you an example. So Florida, WD, lost to USF at home, the Florida Gators, and then they lost to LSU. It doesn't look like the Florida Gators are really good. If you went to Gainesville, Florida, and you're Scott Strickland, you're their AD, and you tried to say, well, at least guys, it's all fine. We won the national championship in basketball. Do you know how Florida Gator fans will react? We don't give a rip about any other sport remotely close the way we care about Florida Gator football. If it meant we won a national championship in football, we would shoot all those other sports into the sun. Okay? That's how much we care about football around here. So if David Tepper tries to ever play the game, Guys, I know things are tough right now, but at least Charlotte FC has won 9 straight matches and might be a contender in MLS. That's probably not going to be met well.
You know, with concerts.
And he already kind of has set the table a little bit. How did that go when he said Charlotte is a soccer city? Mm-hmm. That wasn't very well received. So just putting that out on the front end and we're categorizing that as advice. The 29th annual YMCA of Northwest North Carolina Golf Tournament is at Tanglewood Park Golf Club. Of course, if you would like to participate, ymcanwnc.org is where you go. This tournament is October the 16th, so about a month away, a month from tomorrow. Your participation helps support YMCA programs. It makes a difference in the lives of those they serve. Again, save the date, October 16th. The YMCA of Northwest North Carolina Golf Tournament at Tanglewood, ymcanwnc.org is where you learn more. Getting to Duke. Don't let the box score, don't let the final score fool you. Duke's loss to Tulane was a damaging blow for them because they allowed the second half against Illinois to carry over into this loss that they had in New Orleans. Don't forget the second half against Illinois. Two guys out in the field with the same number on a punt, which allowed for Illinois to continue a drive. It led to a touchdown. Sloppiness, not just penalties, but in execution, turnovers. A lot of mistakes being made. And we saw that on Saturday night. Duke trailed 14-0 right out of the gate. End of the first quarter, you're down 14-0. And that's on coaching. When you talk about penalties, lack of discipline, that's on coaching. That's on Manny Diaz's shoulders. Lack of preparation, having your team ready to go at the onset, that's on coaching as well. So this hasn't been a couple of good weeks for Manny Diaz. And then you get to the Darian Mensah piece. And this is a mirage as well. Some will point to his stats, Will, and say, well, Josh, he threw for over 300 yards. He threw for three touchdowns. Do you know what this game reminds me a little bit of, except that Duke loses the game or that the player involved with the stats loses the game? It reminds me of Kobe Bryant's last game where he dropped, how many did he drop in that game? Was it 60 or 50?
61.
61, right? Was it 49 or 50 attempts that he had in that game? I think it was 49 attempts that Kobe had in the game where it's like, okay, you scored 61 points. That's an achievement. It's a physical achievement just to be able to put up that many shots in an NBA game. But you did shoot 49 times. Is that right?
So it was 60 points, and it was on 50 attempts.
So Darian Mensah here, and again, that was an amazing achievement. We were all rooting for Kobe. The fact they won that game, that was fun. Darian Mensah, going back to New Orleans, had 51 attempts, Will. One more than Kobe that night. 51 attempts, and he completed fewer than 60% of his balls. 58% completion percentage on 51 throws. So you're bound to have a lot of yardage when you have 51 attempts, and he had an interception in the game too. If you just look at this at face value, Duke took Tulane's best player, gave him one of the most lucrative deals, contracts a college athlete has received to this point through the portal, and then you went back to his school and lost? That's a black eye. It really is. Yeah, they only lost by 7, but if you watch the game, it was a lot more lopsided than that. And what's next for them? NC State. If they lose to NC State at Wallace Wade on Saturday, this can spiral very quickly. Because the next two games are on the road. It's Cal and Syracuse. Cal looking pretty good, looking formidable. And then it's Georgia Tech and Clemson that are on the schedule for the Blue Devils. So don't let the box score fool you. Don't let the final score, oh, they fought, it was close. It was not. It was not. And that's a black eye for Duke. That's a damaging blow for Duke, losing that game. And not real, and it being the final score being closer than what it should be. That's bad news for Duke, and not the way they you want to respond after a tough outing at home against Illinois.
You're on the drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
Oh,
Dallas Cowboys robe, but wearing what appears to be a foam 10-gallon Dallas Cowboy hat is the sixth man of Tar Heel basketball, B-Dot, which for today is the 12th man of Dallas Cowboy football. That was the craziest game of the day yesterday. What was your experience watching the final 2 minutes in overtime? Like, what was your experience like? Where were you? What were the reactions like? How steady were you?
I was actually leaving from Tallahassee yesterday. I had a FAMU game on Saturday. We won, thank God, 33-25. I'm on the plane. I get back. I land. I go straight to WSSU alumni chapter meeting. So I'm in the chapter meeting with my phone on the desk. They're going over the minutes. They're talking about inducting a new president. And I am completely distracted watching this game. I'm excited. I know we're about to win. And then when Russell Wilson drops that one to Neighbors for a 48-yard bomb right there in the conclusion, I knew we were about to lose. Then we kick the field goal. We're going to overtime. I know for sure we're about to lose. When we won that game, and I was so elated. I think it was a portion of the meeting that was very serious. And I screamed out, "Hell yeah! Take that, Giants!" in the middle of a very serious WSSU alumni chapter meeting. But it was a very good win. It didn't bring me a lot of joy. It brought me happiness that we won, but it not bring me a lot of optimism in the idea that I think this is going to be a very, very, very long season.
We heard "Take that, Giants," about an hour after we learned "Take that, Leo Messi" from Will Pelagic during our Charlotte FC calls segment. So,
"Take that, Leo Messi!"
Pretty good.
Take that, Giants!
Yeah, that field goal you mentioned was just a casual 64-yarder, and you got an interception of Russell Wilson in overtime in order to set up the winning kick. Doug and Clemens wants to ask you something real quick before we get to grammar school. This is in the context of Ludacris is visiting Chapel Hill for the North Carolina Clemson football game on October 4th. What do you imagine Luda's going to be wearing, Doug?
Hey, Josh, this is a long reach, but we got the Atlanta tie. We got TJ Yates. He played high school ball in Marietta. He played for the Falcons, and now he's on their staff.
Oh, he's on their staff?
Yeah, he's a passing game coordinator for the Falcons now.
I didn't even realize that. B-Dot, how – if you don't think Luda's going to be wearing
– shows up in a TJ Yates
13?
Not a chance.
I suggested – it's not going to be Julius Peppers. Not after what Peppers did to the Falcons all those years. That ain't going to happen.
But see, I don't know, man. See, Ludacris likes to play to the audience where he is. He wouldn't take those – political sides of, "Oh, Julius Peppers killed him." Yeah, but Julius, but I think he'll just do a simple 2-5 jersey. He might come with the jersey and the shorts. I was at Dreamville Fest, and at Dreamville, he came out with the 2-3 jersey, Mike, with the Carolina shorts, with the white Columbia Jordans. Like he was about to go warm up and play for AP and the boys.
I love that. How about we get to grammar school for today?
Josh Graham has his own way of speaking. And just when you think it can't get any worse, rah, 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 Josh is going to attempt to learn B-Dot's vernacular.
I'm
going to
put one in the air.
It's time for B-Dot's Grammar School.
Nobody better than B-Dot. Pre-game, during game, post-game.
Okay. I had a caucastic question, but I didn't write it down, and I can't remember what it was. So we might do that at the end. I had it. I was excited about it. I'll remember it and get to it at the end. We'll start with the urban-centric questions from B-Dot.
Urban, Josh. You always have to remember and reiterate for the audience, this is not race specific. This is urban vernacular. There are tons of whites and Asians and Hispanics that speak the urban vernacular. So, up first, Josh, we're going to keep it real simple today. I dug in the crates, but this is a throwback, Josh. What's a blick? What is a blick?
A blick?
Blicky.
Okay. Do you remember what a blicky was?
Yeah. And I don't know if I want to help you because I think you should know this.
I think it's a gun.
Very, very good.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
That's correct. Yeah. I'd have been upset if you'd have helped him with that one.
I know better, Dad. I know better.
I went with my gut, and my gut was right. Because when in doubt.
When in doubt, what? Drugs or guns?
All right.
Yeah.
Guys, what are you supposed to do when I say 6-7?
When you say 6-7, I'm supposed to do something.
When I say 6-7, what are you supposed to do?
Say 8-9-10. 6-7. WD.
I think that's some type of police codes. And if they say, like, we need a 6-7, I think it means
get
you need
here.
To be get up on out of here.
Well, say that. Say it just like that again.
Get up on out of here. Did I say it right, Dot?
I wasn't ready for that.
Well, that's what
we
got.
I like the way you said get on up out of here.
He said it just like Dion says things.
Well,
You had a little tartar on that, WD. I like that. I ain't gonna care.
Put a little barbecue sauce on it. Wow. Is it right?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
100% incorrect.
No!
Incorrect.
No!
So, 6-7. See, this is why this segment is so important, because it keeps you locked in on what's going on with the youngins in the urban demographic. So my daughter and my son both hit me. They're 19, 13. So he's right in college. That type of. So he hits me with 6-7. You're supposed to do this. 6-7 is a TikTok trend, Josh Grant. And 6-7 started from a song, but then it just gravitated towards a meme. And whenever someone's 6-7, it really had absolutely no point at all. But you're supposed to do your hands like this when you say 6-7. Do your hands. Let me see it. For the folks watching, 6-7. There we go. Like Maso Mano is like 6-7.
So when you and I go to ACC Basketball Media Days, all the players are going to know. If we say 6-7, they're going to go.
Watch.
That's
Let's
what
do
say.
It.
All right. We'll figure it out.
WD, as the producer of this great show, please put that down so we do not forget to do this at ACC Media Days.
You got it.
Just walk up to as many players as we can and 6-7.
Hey,
see what happens.
6-7. They're going to go 6-7.
All right. What's the last one?
Last one, Josh. What's a Duke? D-U-P-E.
I'm going to say a dupe is a homie.
That's your boy?
Yeah.
That's your final answer?
Yeah.
It's 100% incorrect.
Golly, man.
Yeah, man. Dupe is a duplicate. A dupe is a fake.
Oh.
Yeah, you have a dupe Gucci watch or a dupe Rolex or a dupe some Duke jeans. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a fake. It's a ripoff of the for real brand because you can't really afford that. So you get the Duke. You might get Duke cologne. Not to be confused with getting Duke, as in, like, getting
sure.
done dirty, like Josh just got Duke in today's episode of Grammar School. However, a Duke is a duplicate, a knockoff.
That's been Grammar School for today. Since I forgot my caucastic question, I'll instead ask you and I are separated by a day and our birthday. September 11th was your birthday. Mine's the 12th. How did you spend your birthday?
I had a party at this spot in Charlotte. It's a hookah lounge here in Charlotte. My cousin and my auntie came up from Georgia. I had friends come in. My girl Roxy came in from Greensboro. Like, it was really, really a festive occasion. But I partied all week, and I had the yacht, and I had the mom circle, and I had a party Wednesday, party Thursday. Went to Tallahassee on Saturday, and then came back Sunday. But I also got a chance to repot my plant on Friday. That's what I did on your birthday, Josh. Yeah, I repotted my plant.
Good for you.
Thank you, Josh.
You want to know what I did my birthday weekend?
What did you do?
I went to Charlottesville with baby Daniel, his first game. You want to show Dot some videos of Daniel having some fun. Like, here was baby Daniel right before halftime. Yeah, the good old song. Oh, it's heck. Yeah, there he is.
Baby Daniel will remember that forever, man. Baby Daniel will remember that forever. Like, that right there is good.
Then we went out to the lawn, though, afterwards, in front of the rotunda on grounds. Yeah. And listen to him giggle.
We were doing that while Baby Daniel was still sleeping. But then I heard my nephew Dan do a little giggle. He got the best smile ever, man. Good job, Josh and Sarah Bradford.
Dot, we love you. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, man, after another Cowboys dub, let's go.
There he goes. Sixth man of Tar Heel basketball, 12th man of Cowboy football. B-Dot joining us with this Cowboy hat and all. We do need to talk about Xavier Legette before we get to take it to the house. The Panthers, they need more from XL. The Carolina Panthers need more from Xavier Legette. He had 4 catches for 8 yards through the first 2 games. 8 yards. That's it. 4 catches, 2 games. And it's not because Carolina hasn't targeted him. B-Dot, let me know if you want to talk about Xavier Legette at all. If you wanted in on this subject, I should have asked you first if you wanted in on this subject before we go. Did you want to talk about Xavier Legette?
I'm so disappointed in Xavier Legette, man. Like, I'm talking about, I am disappointed. And as a Cowboys fan who will be in the bank on October 12th to watch us put belt to them Panthers. Panthers are my secondary squad, and I was expecting XL to do big things. He looked like he had been working out over the summer. He's introducing us to his meal plan that consists of squirrel and raccoon. He's in videos with Glorilla having the time of his life. I'm thinking, listen, just don't fumble that. Make sure that you translate all of this into a great season. This man had 8 targets for negative 2 yards.
It is.
You don't even do that in a video game, Josh Graham.
Second time in NFL history, somebody targeted at least 8 times had negative yardage in a game. Just the second time that's happened, according to Ben Zolak. I mean, we need XL to be good because we have WD has an entire button bar screen.
It's Little Chicken, man.
Little Chicken. What else do you have? Like,
come on, Kynes. Come on, Mike. Come on.
For hockey season, that's good.
I got the big buck.
We got so much XL stock that we can't. The Panthers, they wouldn't have traded Adam Thielen if they thought this was just the XL that they were getting.
And then, oh, hell no.
And then Jalen Coker goes down and you lose him for 4 to 6 weeks. There's no reason that XL should be playing worse than undrafted rookie Bryson Tremaine or Hunter Renfro, who they cut off the 53-man roster initially.
They cut that man and brought that man back, and he's playing better than XL. XL is playing like a small. That is not an XL. That is a small, okay? And I don't like it. Listen, man, the Panthers fans deserve better, man. More stuff. This man crawled out of South Carolina. He's supposed to come here and be the hometown kid. Like all that little country stuff ain't even funny no more. Like all that, I'm eating squirrel, I'm eating
red. I got the big
ball. Do you want a not verbatim Dave Canales talking about Xavier Legette today?
Oh, sure, yeah.
All right, for those who don't know, not verbatim is Dot tells us what the coach actually is saying. So this was Dave Canales a few hours ago on XL.
I believe in Xavier. This is a guy that I truly believe, because of the way he's wired, the way that he works at it, the way that he continues to train. He had a great week of practice. He played better. He had some opportunities on the field where the ball didn't go his way. I tried to get him a few early touches. They didn't amount to much, you know, but as the game kind of went on, a few of the other targets, you know, they were close plays. He didn't make them, but, you know, I think it's a matter of just finding opportunities. I believe in him. I believe that, you know, he's approached this the right way and just continues to work.
I mean, I got to say this because I don't want to lose my locker room. So he's doing the best that he can. And I'm just as surprised as y'all. Like, all week I was watching him do things. I was like, wow, he's going to have a great week. And you saw him try to target him and he gave us nothing. He gave us absolutely nothing. And then we would try to go back to him and go back to him. He gave us nothing hurt. But again, I cannot say those things to you. So I have to tell you, you know, PC, he's doing the best he can. Like, I think that, you know, he knows that we're depending on him. And the way, you know, he eats raccoon, he eats squirrel. So I'm hoping that type of animal presents itself in this play.
The only thing I would add is, y'all want me to bench him? We've already traded away Adam Thielen and Jalen Coker's hurt.
Like, what am I supposed to do here, guys? Okay, my hands are tied.
You want me to play? Okay. You want me to play three rookies? Three? You want four? Jimmy Horn, Bryson Tremaine, and T Mac out there?
Tryouts Tuesday for wide receiver, 4 p.m. Tuesday at the bank.
Good evening.
Yeah, Jimmy Horn. Good evening. Where's he been? Can't get any
not
reps.
Playing. Not playing.
That's right. There's
good
probably a reason.
We got to have somebody in the secondary that can play both sides like Travis Hunter. Like, come on, man. Like, look what this rookie is doing. You don't let this rookie upstage y'all like this. We don't have nobody that can play both sides of the ball that can catch. Come on, Panthers. You got to think outside the box.
Getting into the comments, Jay Davis ate at Whataburger in Greensboro. It's okay. There are Whataburgers everywhere now because they bought all the PDQs and now they're partnered with the Panthers. I still have not had Whataburger because all the places that Whataburger exists are also places that In-N-Out exists, and I always went to In-N-Out over Whataburger. So I don't have any view on it. Dot's giving me like a gross face.
Not a fan of In-N-Out. You can take that In-N-Out.
But Whataburger?
I have had Whataburger, but honestly, I don't remember it. I was in Texas about a decade ago and I had a Whataburger, but I don't remember it.
You still haven't had it yet either, right?
No, and I live in Greensboro. That's
I assume, wow. Is the one on Stratford Road up yet?
I have no idea.
Do we already have that? Because I know that's where I used to go to PDQ all the time. That were great partners of the show. And Whataburger, I don't know if it's opened yet. I don't think it has, but one of these times we'll figure it out.
I think it has some great marketing, though. Like, the marketing for Whataburger is amazing. Like, just even with the logo, that W looking like a superhero logo. Like,
yeah.
Then there's a Buc-ee's in Nevin.
Bro, everybody, listen, so I had Buc-ee's. The brisket, oh my gosh, it was amazing. I didn't really like the barbecue turkey, but everybody telling me I got to get the beaver nuggets. They say the beaver nuggets at Buc-ee's is what. Josh, when we pulled up, they had 100 gas pumps.
Is this 100. The one in Mebane? Is this the one in Mebane?
No, nah, I was in like Mississippi. I was in like Alabama or something.
Has the
like
Mebane one opened?
No, not yet. Not okay. Yet.
Well,
100 gas pumps. It's got like 5 different stores in one store. Like, it's got like Harris Teeter and it's got Michael's and it's got Target and it's got BP or Exxon. It's amazing.
Now we actually have to go. Love you, all Dot. Right. Thanks for this.
Love you, Dot.